Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Good afternoon or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, K-Tal. Namaste, Oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding it down tonight. Excuse me. Normally holding down the other half of our hosting duties is my dad. But he is on a sabbatical, so we're wishing him all the best. Just to let you know, for those that aren't aware, he did make it safely to his destination Tuesday. So he is good, and hopefully he is having a good time, you know. Maybe even learning something, you know. Ain't no telling how old we are. We're always learning something, right? That's how life is. So anyway. Holding it down tonight, like I said, Dad's doing his thing. So just to get things going here, just to let you know on our show, there's a few ways that you can engage with us while you're listening into the show. Every Monday and Wednesday, we do have our live show, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect. That's the letter FX. You can dial in directly, like talk shows, unlike your most podcasts you listen to, where it's just somebody just talking and, you know, giving their perspectives on different things. We offer the opportunity to engage with you all, the listeners, again, every Monday and Wednesday. So we always like to hear what's on your mind, and that still goes today. Dad always talks about how I'm caller friendly, and well, you know, if you heard some shows with my dad, that's you've heard some shows. So you know, you got a good time to, you know, good chance to call in, and we can kick it as always. You know, I do provide an open forum, so you can call in directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. That's again 516-453-6094. But before I go any further on our engagement aspect, I just completely forgot our due diligence. You know, I always got my dad to remind me, man. You know, hey, what's up, Wilfredo? What's up, Daddy? All that stuff, right? So I forgot. There's a few reminders we need to let you know. The first thing is that I hope you grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, I don't know, the back of an envelope, or a napkin if you got it. My favorites are always McDonald's and Wendy's napkins. They are good to write on. But we just want to make sure that you have something to write with. Hopefully by now, most of you listening already may even have a notepad and getting ready for the show. And maybe certain notes you pick up from the show, you designate your notebook just for this show, which would be pretty cool if you did. Actually, if you do, let me know. I just got a good marketing idea. But anyway, so grab something to write with. So we want to make sure you don't forget anything. Comments, questions, something you might pick up from our conversations on the show. Now you can engage with us and call us in, as I mentioned earlier. I'll give it to you one more time. It's the first time I've done it three times. 516-453-6094. So you'll press 1 on your keypad, and that'll put your number in the queue. And then I'll bring you in as soon as I can. It's just me tonight, so there's a great chance that you get in, you know, pretty quickly, unless I happen to be on a particular roll about something. We have our chat room open as well. Thanks again, Adam, last week for reminding me to open the chat room. Chat room is open. You will go to the blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect site, and with your free profile, Blog Talk Radio profile or account, you can access the chat room. Just go to today's episode 461 and go to the bottom of the screen, and you will see the chat room there. And I didn't set up a Facebook page, event page. I completely slipped my mind. So my apologies for that, for those that was looking for the event page. Normally, we provide the event page as an opportunity for you to engage and talk with us as well. So, but you can hit me up directly. I'm sure some of you have already seen my posts on social media, so we always have ye olde social media to jump into. Adam, I see you in the chat room already. Appreciate you, cuz, as always, getting my back on this. So, Monday, you know, speaking of Adam, we had a chance to kick it for a minute. And Adam, if you're ready to jump in any time, man, you feel free to do so. Yeah, what up? Well, we used to call you Adam Man, right? I'm Wilfredo. You be Adam Man. But Adam, you want to jump in any time, you know, hit the one button, and I'll bring you in whenever you're ready. But we had a chance to kick it Monday and talk about a few things, of course. Roe versus Wade, that is the hot topic, and it's one of those things that it's not just the hot topic that's trending, it's the hot topic I think that's going to be, it has a major effect, not only now, but in the future. And I didn't really talk a lot about my own personal opinion about the decision. I talked a little bit about, you know, the changes with gun control or gun laws that the Supreme Court made in New York, and, you know, just offered some concern as something we should look out for and just be knowledgeable of how states regulate gun control where you live. But I didn't really talk a lot or really offer a lot of opinion in regards to Roe versus Wade. And Adam hit it on the nail for me. And he, you know, it's just not right that women lose the right to, you know, control their bodies, to say what's right for them. I mean, period. Adam, my apologies if I misquoted you. But in this discussion, you know, over the weekend and through today from last week, again, we have these, our groups, red states and blue states, and some changes in some states as well, but we'll get into that next week. I'll look into that next week. I want to look up the Trump's influence on the most recent primaries and even the past ones too, but that's going to take a little time. But that's just a little something hopefully I can squeeze in next week. Of course, Dad will be back next week, so I know he'll be chomping at the bit to get in. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. But, you know, so I didn't really, like I said, say too much or offer a lot of opinion about it. But, yes, you know, women should always have the right to control their bodies, period. You know, it is a very, very bad decision. You know, you can add whichever decision to that terrible, unfathomable, dark, but it was a bad move by this conservative-led group of our Supreme Court of the United States. You know, it took me a long time to know what SCOTUS meant. Yeah, but anyway. You know, now, you know, they're losing, we're losing, women are losing access to safe, you know, reproductive health care, you know, but this isn't the, you know, same time as pre-1973. You know, this is a different time, a different era. You know, we're talking, what, almost 50 years ago. And again, we also mentioned Monday, the same time that Title IX was formed to give women the opportunity for further advancement in education and in jobs and sports and things like that. So, two steps forward, one step forward, two steps backward kind of feeling. A lot of us who are for women's rights and who do not agree with this decision, you know, it's a, I'm sure that's the census as far as the feeling of this recent decision. But again, I mean, this is not the same time. This is not the same world from 1973. You know, there's increased or better knowledge, better understanding of medical procedures, you know, even through holistic practices, or, excluding WebMD, we as ordinary people kind of have increased our understanding and knowledge about our body, about the human body. And we're seems to be more open to discussion about it as well. And I think that, you know, makes a huge difference compared to 1973 and pre-1973. You know, I hope that women aren't faced with death because of this. I mean, there's no easy way to put it, you know, by unsafe or, you know, some kind of unregulated, let's say, abortion, you know, or, you know, again, as we mentioned a moment ago, that just lack of access of medical assistance, you know, life-saving type stuff, situations and things like that, you know, with this change, what's that going to do to, you know, emergency, I can't think of the word, the areas that are open 24 hours, that's not hospitals, but the quick places to take people with emergencies. But anyway, I think you might get, I hope you get my point, you know, life-saving abortion, not just, you know, I mean, it's the medical assistance is needed immediately. So I, you know, I hope that, you know, that, that doesn't happen, you know, before 73. I mean, people would, you know, they would go to Mexico you know, because they couldn't do it here in the United States, you know, and they'd send women down there, and it's just as bad down there as it was up here. You know, we've heard stories and we've seen movies and read books. Yeah, scary times for women. You know, but even Mexico has better knowledge, better medical facilities, better doctors, better people who understand the human body. And sometimes I think Mexico is even better than the United States, you know. I mean, yeah, medicine is cheaper down there, but everything has changed. You know, this is, again, not the same world of 1973. So was the decision right? No, it wasn't right. Is it fair? Absolutely, it's not fair. Yes, women should have the right to do what they want to with their bodies, period. Period. But we see these examples. Well, what about this or what about that? There are some things, again, that are different, you know. But what I wonder is, and Adam, I see you, I'm going to bring you in, and then you can ask me directly about less restrictive rights. How does this affect the next generation? You know, one thing about our show, about this show, is that we try to, as we mentioned, we try to provide this gap in the arching of our generations, you know, of our understandings. And now that I'm getting older, and my son is 16, and you know, he's identifying his own individuality, his own generation, and, you know, just trying to understand and make sure that we don't lose those connections, you know, from me and my dad to me and my son. And hopefully with you and your parents, whether they were alive or if they are alive today, and any of your children and any of your grandchildren. I'm going to get into that too, because I know there's some grandparents out there. Daddy-O, Unc, and the Lions historian, he's not the only grandparent out there. So, but anyway. Adam, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in, man. I see you've already hit the one button.
Hey, hey.
Hey, you live, brother. How you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm awesome, brother. I'm awesome. Happy as always, blessed and thankful, et cetera, et cetera.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So what's on your mind, brother? What you got for the people?
Well, when you were talking about better medical care in Mexico. I don't know about the healthcare in Mexico, but could it be that they potentially have less restrictive rights? So if you want to have an abortion or you want to have a medical procedure, there may not be the restrictions that now with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Do they even have a Roe v. Wade in Mexico?
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. What I was just saying that back then, you know, you couldn't have any procedure in the United States, so they would go to like Mexico to go over the border,
yeah,
and have a procedure done. You know,
yeah.
So I mean, I don't know
Canada,
yeah, Canada, right? So I don't know. You know, where they are now when it comes to abortion rights. Just saying the point of it was just that the times have changed.
Absolutely.
Just as far as, you know, medical procedures and knowledge and just the way that things are done, you know, it's a lot better, I think, than they were 1973 and before that.
Yeah. And like you posted earlier about Clarence Thomas, and you were talking Monday, you know, the Democrats made my life hell for 43 years, so I want to serve for 43 to make their lives hell. What sense does that make?
None.
Like, you.
But I mean, you know, what more did you have? In regards to that, did you have more to add to that? Because it never makes any sense.
Yeah, and it's super petty, and for a Supreme Court justice to have that thought process and to be that petty is just.
I mean, how many politicians out there have their own personal agenda anyway? But the thing is that we don't know. We may not know their personal agenda, but we have to know these people. And that's something else that we talked about, just identifying not only the things that we want to see happen from our public officials, but making sure we know who they are, you know. And then when they're there, holding them accountable. How do we do that? You know, how do we follow up with them? How do we do those things to make these changes happen? Otherwise, they're just going to do whatever the hell they want to do. But then, in the meanwhile, in the back of their mind, they've got a 43-year agenda they've been working on probably since they were 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what do you do? I'm sorry.
It's a lifetime appointment. So he has, there are no repercussions for him saying that. You can't fire him.
I mean, and the thing is, why is that? It's okay that, I mean, I'm being rhetorical with that, you know, but.
Yeah, when you have no fear of losing your job, you can say, you know, whatever the heck you want to say.
Absolutely.
And everybody can protest and send, you know, and just do all kinds of insane stuff. But it's like, okay, well, that's fine. But tomorrow morning, I'm still going to have my same job, and I'm going to talk the same way I've been talking. And you put on this front, and if you get confirmed and you get voted in, then the world is yours in terms of your agenda. As long as you have enough people on your side. And once you have enough people on your side, again, because it's a lifetime appointment, you rally the troops and you just push forward. And, you know, the hell with everybody else.
Do you know for sure that that's, like, in his position, that's how it is? Like, there's really no consequences like that?
Well, as a Supreme Court judge, he can't be fired.
Mm-hmm.
He either dies on the bench, or he steps down. Because you can't get rid of a Supreme Court judge.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's a lifetime appointment. Once you're a Supreme Court judge, you either die on the bench, or you step down. And I believe President Obama wanted one judge to step down so they could make sure that they could get another liberal judge in there. I can't remember the judge's name, but it's a lifetime appointment. You're there for life.
Wow.
Once you're in.
It looks like, so I was trying to look it up real quick. It says federal judges can be removed from office through a similar process like impeachment by the House, convicted in the trial by the Senate, that will prompt removal from office. But I don't know if that's like, depending on lying or something. I don't know.
Supreme Court judges can't. And that's why they kept pushing. That's why President Trump kept pushing to have his judges confirmed, because the Supreme Court would be weighed more on the conservative side opposed to the liberal side.
I'm going to add that to my agenda to research some of that. Thank you. I got some work to do this weekend. Appreciate the homework. I didn't know that.
And Kavanaugh is, in terms of Supreme Court judges, Kavanaugh is relatively young. And then the new female, I can't even think of her name, she's relatively young.
Marjorie Greene?
Who's the other, let's see, Oh man, I can't even think of her name. Amy Barrett.
Oh, Barrett. Oh God, yeah, that's right. That's right. My bad.
Yeah. So I mean, regardless of who the president, regardless of the presidency, regardless of the House, regardless of the Senate, if stuff goes to the Supreme Court, it's already overweighted conservative. Now they may not always vote conservative, but it's overweighted on the conservative side.
Yeah, it's way over. It's ridiculous. And then the guy's leaving this week, right? Or is that next week? To make room for the one that's resigning, that's retiring.
Breyer.
Yeah. So then it'll take a little time to get Ketanji Brown in there. But I don't know. The feeling is that a lot of people don't really feel like there's going to be any change once she's there. I mean, maybe that's why they tried to stack the conservative deck.
They're trying to stack. Yeah.
You know.
But I guarantee the confirmation process will be drawn out. And if they can, if the Republicans could draw it out for 2 years, they will. In hopes that there'll be a Republican president and they'll nominate another conservative judge.
See, these are the things that, you know, we talk about a lot on the show, how these are the kind of discussions that we need to talk about, these chess moves.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy three move mate or whatever. I haven't played chess in a while. But it's those kind of moves that we're not really aware of or that we're not seeing or we don't believe it. And that's when they're like, oh, man, you're just tripping. But
yeah, and that's where the whole, you know, everybody vote counts up to a certain point. You still need to go out and vote. But, you know, people in politics are playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers.
Oh, man, they're, like I said, moves ahead. I hate playing people that can beat me in less than 10 moves.
Well, you and I should play because you'll definitely beat me because I can't think one move ahead sometimes, man.
No, man, but it's good. That's the mental exercise we need to look at, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I appreciate that, man. I will definitely be researching that on a judge being removed. And then we need to, with this guy retiring, you know, I need to understand how the confirmation process works. And that's just some things to look at. Thank you, man. I'm writing this down, so bear with me here. Any additional thoughts you had as far as Roe versus Wade? You know, I don't know if you caught my first part. I just kind of held back on my opinion, but I don't know. Is there anything else you had to add in that regard?
I think it's a really scary time, and a lot of people have been saying, like you have said, it's, you know, one step forward, two steps back. And this is a perfect example of that. Because if people, there are court cases that are waiting before the Supreme Court where they can change laws that they don't agree with or change statutes or change, you know, same-sex marriage. I mean, they're just things, I'm sure there are things out there that are in front of the Supreme Court, and then they get to decide whether or not they want to hear the case. But it's just there's way too many things that are out there that if it came before the Supreme Court, they could just reverse everything. And then it would be more like one step forward and like five steps back.
Yeah.
And that's the real scary thing, is that the power that the Supreme Court has now.
So, I mean, yeah, because I think there was somebody in Texas that was like, yeah, I got no problem with enforcing sodomy laws. You know, so you're already attacking people's lifestyle choices, things like that, right? So it's...
Yeah.
It's another one of these moments here where we are sometimes, I think we are a little aware of some of those chess moves, but we keep on reacting. So how do we dictate the social policy? How do we not react to it? What are some things we could do? I mean, you mentioned the voting and, you know, knowing our...
We need to educate ourselves on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Massachusetts, you know, before you go out and vote, if there's certain issues that are on the ballot, they send out a booklet about what the issues on the ballot are that you can vote either yay or nay on. And they give like a paragraph, maybe two paragraph description of what a yay vote would be versus what a nay vote would be. But I think we definitely need to do more in terms of educating ourselves on what the issues are and who the people are running, not necessarily what they're running on and what their platform is right now, but digging and doing a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes time, and you have to want to do it.
Right. Yeah, you got to give a little discipline to it, for sure.
And that's the hard thing, is making the time to research those issues and research the people that are running for office. I know personally, I don't do it.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely something that we could do.
I don't. I don't as much as I should. You know, I don't. So, yeah, I mean, we got to do these things and build some better knowledge on our politicians and on the subject matter, these talking points. Going back to, I keep shifting gears back to Roe v. Wade, the overturning and decision. And I asked a question, and I'm just wondering, I don't know if you and Tara had a chance to talk more about it or anybody else. And I'm wondering, I haven't seen a lot of discussion, like are we looking at just the impact of this overturned decision happening now? Or are we looking at how it's going to affect the next generation? You know,
I think it's both. Because I think now it goes back to individual states and what they decide.
Oh, right.
So then
right.
Again, it goes back to the individual state leaders and how they're going to, what laws they may make. I know in Massachusetts, Charlie Baker said, no, you know, they may have overturned Roe v. Wade, but, you know, I'm not shutting everything down.
Right.
And he's a Republican governor here.
So let me ask
my
you
biggest,
this. Go ahead. Your biggest what? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say my biggest issue, and my son's 24.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest concern with the kids that are growing up now is, to me, it seems like they have a much more sense of entitlement, which scares me. It's, you know, they're a handful of people that they don't want to work for anything. They think that everything should be handed to them. They think they should get anything and everything they want when they want it. And they don't have that hard work, grind it out, and work for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what concerns me. But then there are also a number of younger people that kind of get it.
Yeah.
And realize, you know, they realize the fight and they need to fight. And hopefully those will be the people that are representing us. The ones that understand the fight and not think that, you know, they're entitled to anything and everything they want when they want it.
I understand that there's this trending video of this young lady talking with one of her baby dad is. And he's bringing some McDonald's. Are you aware of this video?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I'm a little bit torn.
You said, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit torn.
Okay. So I'm going to come back to that in just a second. So the reason why I was asking, and the reason why I'm, you know, bringing up Roe versus Wade, I'm thinking about the effect of the next generation. So how can we prepare? How can we kind of make things a little better, a little bit more comfortable? And you're right. There is this sense of entitlement that a lot of the younger generation feels. And I kind of sound like my dad a little bit, because I feel like that's kind of our fault, our generation, because I think we tried so much to give our kids more than we had, that we tried to, you know, take away some of the pain that maybe we experienced in our childhood that they didn't have to experience. You know, and not that this is a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen, because it's all about love and nurturing. You know, it was just, you know, maybe it was just how we had our discussions, how we communicated, or how we lacked in our discussions or communication. Because, you know, maybe we as a generation were just so focused on making sure they were given more that we really didn't look at the other stuff. You know, we were working so hard. You know how you work so hard, and you're not home that much? You know, but mentally, that can be the same thing, even if we're at the home, and just in how we communicate. So, you know, I have a feeling that this may step on some people's toes, but not only just this younger generation, but I think we too, we're kind of spoiled. And we're kind of spoiled when it comes to sex. I think we're kind of spoiled with not really having to talk about it, whereas now everything is visual. There's so much visualization. You know, there's just such an overload of sex, really. And it's almost like to a point where we're at numb at it now. You know, it's damn near softcore porn on some commercials and regular TV shows, you know. But I've always had a concern about how we communicate and how we talk about sex. And, you know, now I know there's so many different situations and so many things that they talk about with women and abortions. Well, what if this happens? What about this? And what about this? And what about this? But what about the people who aren't in healthy relationships? What about people who use pregnancy to get government assistance? And I hate to put it out there, but I'm going to put it out there, you know, who don't really care a lot about their body, or they use it to take advantage of something. So I know you can't help everybody. And I know we can't come up with every, you know, we can't figure out every problem in the world. You know what I mean? But I figure we can at least look at better ways to increase our communication about sex. I think that if anything, this is just not a wake-up call, but just in my opinion, I think that this is just a moment where we need to really look at the whole picture. And when it comes to people who have babies and they just be having babies, you know what I mean? Or they're just not really, that intent is not there. The responsibility is lacking. You know, like this woman who's saying that this guy should take care of all her kids because she ain't got her welfare check yet. So now this guy should be responsible for taking care of all these kids because she knows she ain't got her money yet. So he should just take it upon himself. And I understand why you're torn, because as a man, you want to make sure that children are provided for, that you do what you can to help out, right? And, you know, as a man, you know that this lady might be trifling, but these kids is probably hungry, you know, and it may not be a good situation for one kid to be eating McDonald's while the other three kids are sitting there, you know, ready to shank them, you know? So, you
but
know,
he also says, "Hey, let him come sit in my car. Have him go mm-hmm. sit in the room."
Right.
If you have one other kid, okay, then I'd consider it. But you have four other kids.
Yeah.
Or three other kids. So then you also have to look at the mother and be like, okay, so you're going to let – I understand how you want your whole family, you know, to be able to sit down and eat and everybody have McDonald's. But then you need to call the father of your other babies to be like, hey, we need some food. We need some money. We need some assistance. So in that situation, like, everybody loses. He's trying to do something good for his son. And, you know, some people looking at the video will be like, well, he's an a-hole. And other people looking at the video will be like, well, she's an a-hole. But he's taking care of his family. He's taking care of his kid.
To me, it's just looking at this situation and many other situations like that, you know, it just makes me wonder where our responsibilities are or the lack of. I mean, we don't know that situation, too. You know what I mean? We don't know what the communication is like between with her and this dude and her and the other fathers. Or even the fathers, mm-hmm. even if they know each other. I mean, and I hate to say it, but that's a possibility too. We don't really understand this whole dynamic and how these relationships work. You know what I'm saying? Like, watching these videos, we never really know the whole story. We just go with what they show us, and that's all we have to go with. But there clearly just seems to be somewhere a lack of responsibility. Somewhere. So whoever was lacking in the responsibility of taking care of these kids, you know, they was there. Whether it was her, whether it was him, whether it was all of them. Just like this kid in Uvalde. Everybody's blaming the cops, you know. But what about the people who were supposed to maintain a healthy relationship with this kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about the people who should have seen the warning? So what is this overturned decision going to do to our next generation? We don't know. But I think what we can do in the meantime is look at how we've established or how we're establishing our relationships, not only with our children, but, you know, whether you're, you know, your partner, whoever you're with, or even, like I said, aunt's not the only grandparent. Maybe your child who has a child. I'm not saying you be the grandfather talking to the grandson, but maybe look at your relationship with your kid that has a kid, because their relationship is going to be affected by your relationship. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like you're about to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, and Monday, I think you and your dad were talking for the brief time that he was in, but your dad was talking about how when he was growing up and when he was raising, when you were a child, it was more, I'm not your friend, I'm your parent. And I think that's where our generation kind of dropped the ball and just screwed everything up, because it's, and myself included, it's more like we want to be our kids' friends than we do want to be their parents and discipline them. And, you know, we want to try and lead them the right way. But I think that the discipline factor is lacking, because it's like, well, no, I have to make sure that, you know, we're cool and we're friends and they like me. Where, you know, with me, I know my dad, you know, it's like the fences thing. I don't have to love you. I don't have to like you. I provide for you. And I think that's the part that our generation is lacking in terms of, I'm your mother, I'm your father, I don't have to be your friend. I'm gonna do everything I can to provide for you and make sure that you are a great contributing member of society. If you like me and we get along, cool. If you don't, it doesn't faze me. And I think that's our problem, is that we're more worried about our kids liking us than we are about them respecting us.
Yeah, you can't be their best friend and enforce rules and discipline. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work well. But you establish a healthy relationship. You know, the only reason why I introduced my dad on these shows as my best friend is because we worked at it. But yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, no, it didn't start out like that, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he knew, and he knew, you know, he tried that, you know, but it didn't, you know, for that little time, you know, we had this little, and I can talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, why he's not here, because he's talked about it before. If you ever read any of his books, you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, there was a time when things were a little shady, right? Things were a little scarce between the time we spent together, you know. So in trying to reconcile those differences, we tried that, but that didn't work. You know, we tried to, you know, it was like, yeah, you're my friend and stuff like that. But then the time came when he had to be my father, you know, and he made a better decision, but we worked at it. But yeah, it's difficult. And it really, you have to be a parent. You can't just be their friend. But that's, well, again, we tried to take away that pain, though. You know, so how do we establish a healthy relationship? You know what I'm saying? And try not to be, like I said, their best friend. Now, there's no, you know, and looking at this and talking about it, there's really, you know, no magic formula, right? We're all still trying to figure out, right? You know, Adam, I know you have a son. Yeah. You're still trying to figure out your relationship with your son, you know, and yeah. I am as well. You know, I mean, hell, every Monday and Wednesday, me and my dad trying to figure this stuff out. I almost said the other word. You know, why we doing the show?
Yeah.
You
and,
know?
And me and my dad went through, you know, he's probably one of my best friends now. But we went through times in our life when I was, you know, I thought I knew, I was grown and I thought I knew everything and I didn't know anything, but I still wouldn't listen to him. And then it evolved and now we're great friends. And I think I'm at the point or getting to that point where with my son, where it's like, oh, wow, Dad, you do kind of know some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And then it turns into that, oh, okay, cool. We could hang out. We could be cool because I know when you're telling me something, you're not scolding me. You're not trying to be, you know, authoritative. It's just you're telling me stuff that you know and that you've learned in your life. And he's able to listen.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's a fine line. And you know, sometimes that's a leap. But once you get to that point, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's so many different pieces of this that connect to other pieces. Like, you know, we talk about Roe versus Wade, so then we're talking about sex, and then there's some other things that are coming up that they're looking at as far as same sex relationships or gay marriages and things like that. You know, so again, I just feel like when it comes to not only just relationships with our children, but even as adults, and just throwing sex into this tonight, and I'm not only like roles or anything like that, but I just mean just trying to be healthy, you know. And I was looking up some stuff, and it's very interesting how these points, though some of them may be centered towards discussions about sex, when you hear these, and if you don't mind that, I'm just going to hit like 3 points. It's very interesting how it can, in my opinion, I feel like it can relate not just to like talking to your kids about sex, but even just trying to work on a healthy relationship as an adult with an adult. So let me hit a couple of things. Do you mind, sir?
No. Oh, dude, this is your show. You do you.
Oh man, but you know, I'm you know, you're the guest here, man. I'm so happy to be kicking it with you, man, making sure you're good. But you know, number one, and this I think can apply to when we are open and transparent. And again, whether you're talking to your kid or whether you're talking to your partner or anything like that, being embarrassed is normal. You know, I'm thinking, the more you talk, the easier it gets. Because I know I didn't want to talk a lot about sex, not only to my parents, but it's taken me time to really understand, even in as an adult, even in some relationships. It was difficult to really be open about sex, to really talk about it. And I don't mean just the act of, but I mean all the other stuff that comes with it. So another point, if someone is not ready to hear, they'll usually forget what you say. Now, I know that applies to kids. I'm sure all of you all have had those experiences when the kids don't want to hear what you got to say. They quickly forget whatever the heck it is that you're talking about. But there's some adults out there who can do the same thing. And I think some of you all can also agree with that. But it's just easy. It's just good to remember those things. This is where you have to understand when somebody's ready to talk, when somebody's ready to hear. The third thing, the last thing here, consider and be clear with yourself first about something, a few things. Your values and your beliefs. We all got different values and beliefs, right, Adam? I mean, we've discussed it on the radio shows many times. We don't always agree, and we don't agree to disagree in that crap, you know. But you have different beliefs. You may have different values. We all have different values and different things like that. But you have to be clear with yourself in order to talk about it, rather with a kid or with an adult or whoever. Be clear with your values and beliefs. Now, when you're talking with children, let's say, or if you're trying to, you know, how do you feel about sex before marriage? How do you feel about same-sex relationships? How do you feel about contraceptions, especially that now? I mean, you got to use what you got, but you have to be clear with yourself first with these things, because you're going to have to share it. And that even means with adults. You're going to have to share it. And if you don't share it, I don't know how healthy that relationship can be. You know, look, open and honest conversations about sex, I think, is important. And just looking at this decision that happened again with Roe versus Wade, this just prompted me to think about some of the small steps that we can take, you know, where we can still fight for women's rights and women can still be able to be in control of their bodies. But we have to be responsible with how we take care of ourselves and our bodies. And I just thought that this was a good starting point, only again for us to look at in helping the future, but helping us right now just to deal with all this bullshit that's happening out here in the world and how it's affecting us. So thank you, Adam, for letting me hit those few points, sir.
I would say with number one, you have to be comfortable with your own sexuality before you're comfortable enough to discuss it with your partner. So you have to be, you know, and it's still, but you know how they say, let your freak flag fly?
Yeah.
You have to be comfortable with your own, and I hate to say it, your own freak flag before you can talk to somebody else about it.
Well, you have to be comfortable with it, but you ain't got to be waving it around like, black queen. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, 100%. But if you're not comfortable with it, you can't bring it up to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to be okay with who you are.
Yeah.
You know,
And like you and your dad always say, you have to define what is it? You have to define yourself, because if not, somebody else will.
Right. Because if you try to be somebody else, you can't, because everybody's taken. Yeah.
Everybody's taken?
Yeah. All of that. You know, it's just, you know, this might fall on deaf ears or whatever, but I just feel. And maybe it's just me and my own personal issues and things like that. I mean, with Jackson 16, my son is 16. I know he's still got a lot of questions, you know, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but, you know, I just try to make sure he knows that I'm there, you know. But when
you,
he's
are you pop, no you go I'm sorry, I mean
no, just off. Saying that I'm there, and you know, in the times that he's ready to talk, that I'm ready to listen, and I have to recognize when he's not ready to talk. What are you about?
But are you comfortable enough to talk to him?
Oh, I mean, is it uncomfortable for me? Yes. But can I deal with that level of being uncomfortable to effectively talk to him? Yes. I'm not going to deny the fact that it's uncomfortable. You know, I mean, it is. And that's what I'm saying. Being embarrassed and being uncomfortable is normal. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. I mean, Monday, doing this show by myself, and I played back. Man, it took me forever to listen to Monday's show. But coming on here tonight, you know, I was embarrassed for that show. But the more I do it, I won't be uncomfortable.
Yep.
You know, you're playing golf right now. You're playing golf right now. You kicking in on the front nine, and your back nine sucks. You know,
yep.
But it's just what we do. Whether it's our discussions about sex with kids or with establishing relationships, doing new stuff, learning new things. I mean, we have to be okay with that embarrassment. I mean, you know, and that even falls on being okay with making mistakes, you know, because shit happens. But we just have
but
to
it
keep.
It takes a special person, or not even takes a special person. It takes a person being in a special place, and I give you mad props. Acknowledging the fact that a conversation with your son may be uncomfortable and may be embarrassing,
mm-hmm.
but you understand how important it is to still have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because most people would, and maybe not most people, but some people would be like, oh, you know, go look it up on the internet. All right, here's this book. I'm not talking to you one-to-one. It makes me embarrassed having that conversation. So acknowledging that it's as uncomfortable and as embarrassing as it may be, but still being willing to have that conversation and understanding that is huge.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I mean,
because I didn't have that confidence that you have.
It didn't just pop up out of nowhere.
Well, no.
I mean,
but you understand it. It you know, it's like we're going to talk about the birds and the bees. No, I'm good. Birds fly and bees pollinate stuff.
Yeah,
that's
I
it.
Mean,
I'm good.
No, I just. I hear you. It's not perfect, but I just know that I gave my parents a hard time. You know, I don't know what Unc's, my dad's opinion would be about that. And hopefully he'll listen to the show when he comes back or whatever. We'll follow up in a couple weeks or something. I don't know. But I know I gave them a hard time. You know, as far as talking about it, but it was always not when they wanted to talk about it, but when I wanted to talk about it,
yep.
You know, so, you know, I mentioned earlier that we tried to make sure that our children don't experience the same pain, and sometimes we spoil them. This is one of those things where I would like to, without beating myself up and looking back at past experiences and things like that, this is the type of pain that I wouldn't want my son to deal with, you know. And if I can help him not deal with some of the type of relationships that I dealt with in the past, then hopefully, you know, I can help him out with that. You know?
And even acknowledging that is huge, though.
Well, it's still work in process, but I appreciate it. But again, you, and it's not like you can't go back and have these conversations with your son. It's not like anybody else who has an older child. It's, you can still have these conversations. And I really think that by going back and really looking at, especially if you have older children and how you've established the relationship and how you have these conversations and going back to those conversations, I wonder how that will affect the relationship again with their children. You know, yeah. making that impact and not just assuming everything is okay. And even if everything is okay, well, you know, Roe versus Wade, this happened. How y'all doing? How you feeling? You know, y'all still do this. You still talk about that. Hey, you remember back then we used to have, you know, just, you know, I don't know, man. I just, you know, ever since COVID really kicked our ass, I just really feel like we need to keep playing chess and we need to understand how chess is played. And we have to understand that there's a lot of moves, a lot of things that are happening out there that are very strategic. What they are, I don't know. And if you want to label that as a conspiracy theory, then that's fine. You know, I mean, but I just think that in this one thing that I learned from COVID and what we dealt with in that year and a half is that we have the ability to adapt to situations. I mean, we're human beings. You know, I mean, that's one of the gifts we have in being on this earth. It's just our bodies are able to adapt. Our minds are able to adapt. But we get so complacent and we get stuck in my favorite word that Dad uses, in this malaise of what's in front of us now, you know, and we continue to just react and we don't really look at the strategies and we don't really know how to dictate social policy. We don't know how to understand what that means. We won't even take the time to understand what it means or even care about it.
Yeah.
With this is just an opportunity to try to do something, man. I don't know.
But you have to know what game you're playing before you sit down at the table. And I think that's where a lot of people are lacking, mm-hmm. is that they're coming to the game thinking that it's a fair table and the deck isn't stacked. And like you say, we can't be proactive because we're so stuck on being reactive. And being reactive is never going to get us anywhere.
Or then if we become proactive and then something happens in our planning process, you know, where's the chess moves? Where is the, you know, if I move my knight this way, what happens if I move it here and then leave this open here? Can he pawn come over diagonally and take my knight if I put it here? Will this queen come all the way down and get my king, you know?
And it's doing the research, and we don't do the research.
Wow. Which is interesting because we got technology at our fingertips. We have the tools,
yeah.
But I guess it's how you use it. So
yeah, well, we use the tools to do TikTok and Facebook and everything else, not to do the research. We use the technology to be entertained.
No. Well, at least we have this opportunity, here.
Yes, sir.
It's on the Canadian.
The million.
The
millions.
That's right. Millions of fans out there. Adam, once again, Cuzzo, man, I appreciate you, man. I'm glad you kicked it with me tonight.
It was amazing. It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Even if it was just me and you, man, I appreciate it. Oh, no, Sue was in the chat room. What's up, Sue? Hola, hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Muy bien.
Man, I got to work on my Spanish, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get my butt kicked later on. Anyway, oh, she just jumped back in again. She must have heard us. Hey, thank you, Sue. Thanks for joining us. And thank you to everybody else that took the time to spend with Adam and I. Again, we're live every Monday and Wednesday. My dad will be back next week. I believe he'll be back Monday. If not, he'll definitely be back Wednesday. He might still be on the road next Monday.
Are you taking the 4th off, or are you going to do a show on Monday?
When's the 4th?
Monday.
Oh. You know what? I'm not sure. I'm glad you asked me that, because I'm not trying to be here on the 4th. Oh, Sue said, thanks, Adam. I'm not trying to be here on the 4th, you know.
Good.
I mean, just because I want to be in a little bit safer area, you know. That's all I want to say, you know. Just because I have a firearm don't mean I want to use it. So I don't want to be in Vietnam, you know. So
Massachusetts is always open. You are always welcome here.
Well, you know, I can't get on a 99 value jet and just leave out. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money now. But I appreciate it, man. You know, we definitely
trip,
need,
bro. You can
just drive up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't put me on the spot like that, cuz. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm glad you asked me that. So I'm not sure I can possibly do it from a remote location. So we'll see. You know, there's always something that's happening between now and Wednesday. So, you know, there's always something to talk about. But I will definitely keep you all informed on the millions of listeners.
And millions.
I'll keep you informed on what's happening. Anything else in closing, sir? Before we head on out?
No, I love you. Be safe. Great show. And I love listening to you guys.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate to be listened, man, but most importantly, I love you as well and appreciate your support. You've been there since day one, man. And again, I really appreciate all your support. So thank you. So this is the Greenhouse Effect Show, ladies and gentlemen. Here we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. That's it for tonight. As always, we ask that you all be safe, be blessed, and again, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. I'm Will. That's Adam over there. And until Monday, we'll holler at y'all soon. Take care out there. Amen.
Amen.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you say to be happy as I lie here on the rooftop.